Kate again, Community Manager at Clean and Tidy Home Show. Thank you for joining us for today's tea break. We're just waiting for Bella from our comfy little home to join us, where we'll be chatting more about anxiety and asking for help, and beating those stigmas and some of those stereotypes when you're asking for help when you've got anxiety. So like always with our tea breaks, please feel free to go grab yourself a drink. Oh, I can see Bella is online now, so let me just see. There we go. Like always, if you've got any questions, please pop them in the chat, and we can answer those as we go. Why is it not letting me?
What have I done?
There we go. Turn your camera on. There we go. Perfect.
Sorry. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I can't see you on the camera. How do I get you up? Sorry.
Oh, that is a good question. I'm guessing everyone else can see me. I don't know, it must be on your settings.
Do you want to try
jumping off and coming back on again?
I'll do that.
Okay, perfect. Right, Bella will be back again in a second. So I'm sure you've all seen, we announced our Shine Squad at the weekend, so we're really excited to have our ambassador role this year, as well as our Shine Squad like we've had in previous years, where we're helping with engagement, helping connect, sharing that advice and those things that we do around the house. And we're really branching out this year and looking at things to make your home life smarter as well. So like little habits, little things that we do, those tips, those tricks, those helpful bits of advice that we share with each other, and looking at well-being, lifestyle and all areas of home, rather than just cleaning. So that's exciting as we go into the 2024 show. So thank you to everyone who's joined us so far. Just waiting for Bella to come back on so I can so you could see Bella as well. Just waiting for this one, so it should be going any second. Brilliant. Can you see me now, Bella?
I still can't see you. I'm really sorry. I don't know how to change it on here. I do apologise.
Other people have said they can see us both. Okay. So if you're happy to carry on, we can just carry on. See you fine.
Fine. Yes.
Brilliant. So do you want to introduce yourself, Bella?
Hello. My name's Bella and I'm from our comfy little home. And I'm part of the new team for the Shine Squad this year at the Clean and Tidy Show. And I'm really excited about joining and looking forward to meeting everybody, working with the team, meeting all the brands, meeting the community, bringing everyone together. So I'm really excited about that today.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Yeah, excited to have some new faces on board as well. So looking forward to getting to meet you in person as well. So for today's tea break, we're looking at asking for help. That's our theme that we're doing over March and April. So thank you for stepping in today and having this conversation with me. So first of all, I just wanted to kind of ask you about asking for help. So is that something you find easy to do? And when have you had to ask for help recently?
I'll be honest. So over the last 2 years, I've really found it really hard to ask people, just because I found that I just wanted to keep myself to myself, and that I felt sometimes I felt difficult asking someone, like a family member or friends. I do speak to them, but not all the time, because I just felt like I just wanted to try and sort things out myself in my head.
Yeah.
So it just really hard. But over the last year, I've realized that I need to ask people, and breaking the stigma is really important, in that you should ask for help if you need help, because if you don't, it just builds up and builds up and builds up, and then you find that you bottle everything up and it's not good. It's not good for your mental health, it's not good for other people around you, and you need to be taking care of yourself. So it's really important that you do ask for help, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend. Or if you can't, then go to your doctor. I recommend going to a doctor and speak to them about it and see if they can support you or signpost you to the right help you need.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we spoke a lot at the start of the year, like our January topic was kind of getting to know yourself. And part of that was getting to know things like your triggers and the areas that maybe you do need that help with. Have you kind of like gone through that journey of kind of learning what your triggers are and where you need a bit more help, or kind of what kind of led you to kind of realize that you need to reach out and get that support?
Well, I suffer with really bad anxiety, and I find it really hard sometimes. Just even obviously have to do things on a daily basis. You have to do, you know, school run and everything else you have to do normally. But when I find my mental health isn't good, I find if I go for a walk or going to the gym, doing something with my children, spending time with family, just managing, knowing the signs is really key and important. And when you do have those triggers, it's good to make sure you do something, like even if it's something small. And I always find it, if I don't manage my mental health well, it can affect me the way how I think and my daily routine. It can affect that as well. So it could be something like forgetting to have lunch. Sometimes if I'm busy working or something, doing stuff around the home or out and about or doing, you know, just on a daily basis, I can forget to eat because I work and I can't focus on what I'm doing. So I forget to make sure that I'm having a drink or having something to eat. And then it affects my memory, so I can forget where I put things. I'm always losing things around the home. So that can affect me as well. I've lost my car keys before for about a week once in the washing machine. My area manager was like, it was just after COVID. Sorry if I'm going off the subject. I left my car keys in the washing machine because I was left in my pocket, actually. My son was not feeling well, so I took him for a COVID test. And my area manager phoned me that day and she was like, are you going to be in work tomorrow? And I said, well, my son's not well. And I got myself really stressed out. My anxiety, this is before I knew I had really bad anxiety and other mental health conditions. This was 2 years ago. And I forgot my car keys. I lost them. I left them in my pocket and I put my coat in the washing machine. I totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
And I left my coat in the washing machine and I was trying to find my car keys. I looked everywhere. I looked in the washing machine everywhere, but where they were inside the room, you know, inside the washing machine, the actual rubber bit inside the washing machine. I left them there and for about a week I didn't have a car. So it really did affect my daily, obviously getting to work, getting to school, and I was just panicking. So I had to find other ways to get to work and get to do the school run. So it can affect, if you don't watch those signs, it can affect your daily life on a regular basis if you don't watch the key triggers.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a few comments coming up now about like people don't want to appear weak by asking for help, or it's that kind of that, I suppose, kind of, especially for kind of those of us who are kind of in this kind of this generation now where it was kind of, you never used to ask for help. It was kind of very much, no one spoke about mental health. It was very much kind of, you just kind of sucked it up and got on with it. And everyone expected you to kind of, especially like the female role for those of us kind of with children and stuff, like you were expected to just kind of like run the house, keep your head down, make sure dinner was on the table, not talk about like your feelings. Otherwise you were too emotional or too vulnerable. And it was kind of, you had to be the strong one and all that sort of stuff. So I think it has kind of moved away from that thing of people feeling like they need to be the strong one who's kind of like holding all the family together. And it is okay now to reach out and say, I'm struggling, I'm feeling a bit low or a bit anxious. And I think that's definitely got a bit more accepted. But I still think it's quite difficult sometimes to ask for help, especially in new situations. So yeah, kind of, I suppose then, have you got any advice then on like kind of how you can spot those triggers and spot when you're kind of maybe hitting that point and you do need to reach out and ask for some help?
100%. I think it's really crucial, if you do have triggers, is definitely to ask for help. First thing is, if you don't feel comfortable speaking to anyone, speak to a friend. I've got two best friends that I talk to and they talk to me about things, that we can talk about anything. And if I'm feeling a bit low, I'll ring them up and speak to them. If I can't speak to my family, because sometimes my family have got their own, everyone's got their own problems, and sometimes they've got mental health and they can't talk about. So I find sometimes it's just too much for that person. So going to having like five people you can talk to on your hand, so like a family member, a best friend, going to your doctor. There are organizations out there you can speak to, like the Samaritans or Minds. So if you can't speak to anyone, you feel like you want to speak to someone in confidence, I would speak to somebody outside of your safety net box, because sometimes it does help. Or if you can't, you can self-refer. Which is something I'm not embarrassed to talk about. I've self-referred myself to, I spoke to my doctor and they recommended me to see a therapist to talk about my anxiety, how to manage it, because I am really struggling with that sometimes. Even going to the gym, I struggle. I have to go at a certain time of the day because I can't go when it's too busy sometimes. I'm getting better with it. But again, I think that's triggers. But yeah, as I said, going through those things, so best friend, family member, your doctor, self-refer if you have to. NHS, they do. I know it's overwhelming. I'm on the waiting list to see therapy about anxiety management. And also, if you can't see someone, you can pay to see a therapist. I have done in the past.
Yeah.
By counselling, that's helped me. So it's just making sure you see those triggers and you know where to go. And if you can't, you're not sure where to go, speak to somebody. There's always someone available to talk to. My inbox is open if anyone wants to speak to me. I'm happy to speak. I'm not a specialist, but I'm happy to signpost people. I do know about mental health, obviously having it myself. And I was studying a bit in the past, but I put that on hold at the moment. But I'm hoping to go back to my studies. So
yeah, I think that's probably one of the good things that did kind of come out of the COVID stuff. I know I struggled kind of as a single parent and kind of that, like being alone during COVID, especially when it was the whole like you kind of keep to your household and you don't see anyone else. Mm-hmm. And lots of the counselling services then changed what they were offering. So obviously they couldn't do face-to-face anymore. So lots of the ones that I did started to have like virtual appointments. So it meant that if you were struggling to leave the house, maybe you're struggling with the whole personal care. And I know that's my first warning sign when I'm starting to kind of dip, is things like I won't have any interest in kind of changing out my pajamas or washing my hair or putting makeup on. So mm-hmm. for me, kind of leaving the house would have been kind of a real no-go. So the fact you can now like kind of sit in the comfort of somewhere you feel safe and secure and do those, whether it's by telephone, a Zoom appointment. I even did one where it was just like chatting with the therapist on an instant messenger service thing. So there really is so many different ways now that you can connect and ask for that help if you can't kind of overcome the obstacle of face-to-face as well.
Definitely.
Which I think as well, I think sometimes face-to-face always seems a bit more daunting. I think it's sometimes easier to kind of do it if you're kind of behind a screen or behind a device, so you're not face-to-face. But lots of people are commenting saying like therapy's helped, and it's that reaching out and asking for it I think is a really big hurdle.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. During COVID times I did have I was lucky actually, I did have a few. I was going through the point of one point I was really, really stressed, and it was I know obviously it's not a nice thing to talk about COVID, but obviously that is when I think some of the triggers, it made my mental health worse. So I was on the verge of maybe losing my job. I think a lot of people obviously in that time had their stresses, and sorry to bring it up if it did affect anyone I'm talking about this, sorry. But I did have the opportunity to speak to, we had this provider service we had with our company, we could ring up and speak to someone about it and how we were feeling. Because obviously when you're going to lose your job, it's quite scary, especially in that time. But online, as I said, talking therapies, self-referral, I will be having a phone call. I spoke to a therapist the other day and they did say to me, it will be online and it will be a phone call appointment rather than face-to-face, which I'm happy with. I prefer that because sometimes you can speak freely to someone if you're not seeing them face-to-face, because can be quite daunting speaking to someone face-to-face if you're going through those emotions and you don't want to show your face on camera.
Yeah, definitely. And then kind of looping this back round to kind of the, I suppose, like the Shine Squad and kind of the benefits of us having you all on board. We get lots of questions in all the time about things like, I have anxiety, I'm really worried about coming to the show. So kind of as someone who's been to the show, kind of what advice could you give to anyone who maybe is feeling a little bit anxious ahead of getting those tickets and joining us for the weekend?
Well, when I went, I'll be honest with you, if you ask my best friend, when I got on the train, she was like, are you okay? Because I haven't been on the train for a while. And I was really anxious. I was really, my anxiety, so I was breathing and just trying to take it. If you're going to go with somebody, you'll be fine. I would recommend going with somebody if you can, rather than go on your own, because it's just nice to have that moral support and someone to talk to if you are feeling a bit anxious. But there are, obviously, I'm going to be there. There's going to be a nice team of Shine Squads to be there to support you. So don't feel alone. You won't be on your own. If there's always someone to ask, someone will signpost you in the right direction. If you're not sure, there is quite spaces you can visit to have like a breathe if you need that bit of time to just sort of digest everything and have a quiet moment. Because I find sometimes when I'm in that environment, sometimes I just need a bit of quietness because it can be overwhelming and your mind's going at 50 miles an hour and you're worrying about this, you're worrying about that, how are you going to get there? A few key points I would recommend as well. If you're not sure about how to get there, plan your journey so you know how you're getting there. I like to, when I'm going to places, I have to know where I'm going, who I'm going with, what time. I know it sounds kind of a lot, but I like a schedule, not to the point, but an idea, a briefing to myself so I know my journey, so that I have to panic when I'm on that journey, and it just helps me feel more relaxed.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same. I kind of have to know, like, if I'm getting different trains, I need to know, right, okay, this is where it gets into. This is how long I've got to get from train A to train B. This is the underground. And even things like navigating around London with the undergrounds, like, it just helps kind of know, I think, before you get there. And it's always so busy and stuff, just kind of, especially London. I think planning is key for that as well. The other thing, so we did have 25% of our attendees last year did turn up on their own. So this is where I would really recommend checking out the buddy system. So you can have a look through the website. We do run a buddy program, so you can sign up to it before you get there, and it just means we're going to pair you up with someone else who's there on their own. Or if there's kind of no one else available, we can put you together with a member of the Shine Squad, so that you've just got someone there to go around with, and kind of just while you're kind of getting your feet and feeling a little bit more at ease. And there's quiet spaces, and there's always opportunities to kind of take yourself off, and if you want to bring a packed lunch with you and all that sort of stuff, because I know some people find it overwhelming, like queuing for food and waiting for the stages and all that sort of stuff. Like, you can bring your own packed lunch, so you know there's going to be food you like, stuff that you enjoy, and then you can really kind of focus on kind of the reason you're there rather than worrying about all the little bits as well. So any kind of last advice for anyone, Bella, before we wrap this up?
Yes, as I said, thank you for today, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. And I'll just say, as I said, break the stigma. Don't feel embarrassed to ask for help. If you need help, ask somebody. If you're not sure, ask a friend, ask a family member, speak to your doctor. As I said earlier, you've got the Samaritans, you've got Mind. And one more thing I also wanted to say, sorry, I forgot to mention. Sometimes when I'm feeling low, sometimes I also look on Instagram. I follow Mrs. Hinch. I find she's really inspirational, the way she talks about anxiety, how she manages it. You've got Major Mum Hacks. She talks about how she's managed with her mental health. So you've got all these influencers online who talk about how their mental health is. You've got Cara, who's The Only Way Is Pink. She talks about how she deals with her disability and her daily routine. You've also got Miss Greedy's Home. She's inspirational again. She talks about her mental health and how she manages and being a new mum as well. So there's quite a few. Gemma Bird, Money Mum, she also talks about her anxiety and how she manages it as well. And also Dr. Alex, he's really, really good, ambassador for the UK, mental health ambassador. And he talks about his journey with dealing with ADHD and how he copes and how he's been since he's been diagnosed and how he's changed his life. I find he's really, really inspirational, and he's a really good person to follow as well, because he knows about everything about mental health, not just for adults, for children. And he's written lots of books as well.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. I'm gonna go check some of those out as well, because I know there's a couple of those I don't follow. But thank you so much, Bella, for joining me, and
Yeah,
thank you for
thank you.
talking so openly as well. The feedback and the comments have been great. Lots of support there. Lots of people saying thank you for being so open and honest and sharing your experiences.
Thank you.
So yeah, I can't wait to meet you at the show. And everyone, if you've got any questions, please feel free to send them over. And yeah, thank you, and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everyone.
And you. You take care. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Thank you, Bella.
Bye.
Bye.